24, verse 1. All right, you there with me? All right, the earth is the Lord's. That's pretty straightforward, right? Okay, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Now, here's a question and a thought altogether. The question is, how do you manage your money? And a thought to ponder is, you will spend your money on things that matter to you. Right? I mean, if nice cars are important to you, you will spend money on nice cars. If a nice home is important to you, then you will spend money on a nice home. Clothes, groceries, and those sorts of things. So really, you can tell a person's heart by their checkbook. And I honestly believe that when we get to heaven and when we have to answer for things, one of those things that we will have to answer for is our checkbook. And how were we good stewards over the things that God gives us? And stewardship, and I'll get into it a little bit deeper here later tonight, but stewardship is just not all about money. It is property. It is time. It is your body, your temple. There are so many, when we think of stewardship, we think of tithes and offerings, but it's much more than that. So we're going to talk tonight about biblical economics. Biblical economics. I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a history lesson tonight, give you a background behind the three major economics in the world today. But we could say tonight that economics is essentially the study of a person's choice. That economics is the study of a person's choice. So number one is a basis for evaluating economics. Now, I want you to write these two words underneath this. It's not on your handout, so I want you to write these two words. The first word is positive. Positive. Now, what do I mean by that? By positive economics, it is telling you reality of economics. It is telling you of what is going on now with economics. Okay? The next word is negative economics. Or we could also say normative economics. Okay, so we got positive, we got negative, or normative economics. Normative economics is what we hope will be. What we hope will be. Okay, let me give you an example. Minimum wage. Minimum wage. I stopped at a McDonald's in St. Paul's about 2 weeks ago. I was coming back from Lumberton, doing a ball game, late, and I stopped at McDonald's. I walked into this McDonald's. Some of y'all have maybe been to one of these McDonald's or fast food places. Have you been there? Okay, all right. Yeah, you live in St. Paul's, yeah. There's only one McDonald's? It's right off of 95 there? Is a Burger King right almost across the street? Okay, all right, okay. You've been there too? Oh, yeah? Okay. All right. You been to that gas station next door to it too? No gas station. All right. It's actually a really clean McDonald's. Yeah, it is. But there was something missing. There were no people working cash registers. Okay? It was all automated. Push buttons, take out your debit card, or you can use cash. Okay, now it did say, if you want a cashier, then walk over here and somebody will come over there to you. Okay, guess what? When you get to a point in fast food restaurants where minimum wage has to be $12, $15, $20 an hour, guess what? There's not going to be any jobs in that industry. So the positive economics is, hey, we need to keep minimum wage where it is. Or small adjustments to give the economy a chance to catch up. But a sudden jump in $5, $10 like you're seeing in Seattle, and guess what's happening in those cities? Those minimum wage jobs, they're leaving. So people now are losing their jobs. Okay, I asked, there was a debate on one of the news channels some months ago, a couple years ago. In fact, this was when Gary Saggio was still here. And we met at McDonald's, and we were kind of talking about this requirement or doing away with waitresses. You know, they only get paid like $2.50, $3 an hour. But they make up for it on tips. I mean, big time. So I asked the waitress at Waffle House, I said, now, if you were given the choice, which one would you have? Which one would you rather have? $12 an hour or what you make now plus tips? She said, oh, that's a no-brainer. I want what I got now. She said, because on a busy morning, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, she said, sometimes I bring $30, $40 an hour. So I just keep it right here. But see, the normative economics says, no, 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 no. This is what we want it to be. Okay? So the Bible, though, gives us a solid basis for economics. Now, you say, well, the Bible only gives Bible things. Well, Christ's second thing of all subject that he talked about the most, other than hell, was money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man cannot serve God and money. Okay, so here are some ways to organize an economy. I'm going to give you three things here, and I think they are on your handout. Okay? Three different kinds of markets that are out there, okay? The first one is the free market. It is also known as, here in America, it is known as what? Capitalism. Oh, the evils of capitalism. It makes the rich richer and makes the poor poorer. Such an evil thing of capitalism. Okay? I mean, like they eat man or something. You know, if you're a capitalist, then it must, you know, you're a weirdo or something by being a capitalist. Well, let me break it down for you real quick of what a free market economy or a capitalistic economy is. It is basically you are free to exchange your money for what you want to buy it with. Okay, so if you get a paycheck, you want to go buy a new car, you go buy a new car. If you want to move from one house to another, you put your house up on the market and you move into another house. You have the freedom to do with your paycheck what you want to do with it. Now, it may be bad choices, it could be poor choices, but you have the choice. You have the freedom to do what you want to with your money. It is your money. Nobody else's. Okay? So do you understand that? Okay? I'm going to have to hold off on because I'm crunched for time. Okay? Maybe we'll have time afterwards. So if you want to write your question down, you can keep it. Okay. So free market. All right, next. Communism. What is communism? The government owns everything. Everything is run by the government. Now, when Bill Sturm and I were in China, I couldn't believe how dirty China was. I mean, filthy, dirty, pollution, smog. I mean, it was just filthy, dirty. And after we had taught our Bible classes and things, we had got on a train and we went back to Beijing, and we were in a hotel room and we were watching. There were six channels on the TV in our hotel room. Five of them were in Chinese. One was dubbed, where we had the words down at the bottom in English. And so we were watching this, and they were interviewing a farmer who was a capitalist. But he was a Chinese capitalist. And this is the way they brainwash these people. That the reason why we have capitalism is because of communism. That capitalism is a branch off of communism. It amazes me how it is a communist-run government, but they make their billions of dollars off of capitalism. But then there's a third one. Oh, by the way, the founder of communism, Karl Marx, was an alcoholic, died homeless, and died broke. But he is the grand wizard of communism, wrote the book on communism. And to communists, Karl Marx is their hero. But then there's socialism. Okay, we hear a lot about socialism today. Socialism is basically a combination of communism and a free market economy. An individual in a socialist system can operate their own business, can own their own property, but the state owns the tools that is used to produce the goods. So a person can own something in their name, but they have to answer to the government for everything. Okay, you've heard the term socialized medicine. The doctors do not work independently from the government. They answer to the government. So if this nation becomes a socialist nation, everything that we do, we will have to answer to the government. So the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all of that, a Republican form of government. I want so much when I'm sitting watching TV and they say, we need to protect our democracy. I want to yell as loud as I can, you are lying through your teeth. Because you do not know what you're talking about. How many of you know what the Pledge of Allegiance says? Okay? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Now, does it say democracy? No, it says a what? Republic. We do not live in a democracy. A democracy is a government in which it is run by the government. A Republican form of government is you have a representative form of government that the representatives represent the people. So we live in a Republican form of government. And I'm thinking, you're a politician, you ought to know better. Well, okay, I just answered that question. They're politicians. So here's the thing with socialists. Everything, here's their wording. Everything needs to be equal. Okay, everybody needs to be paid the same amount of money, the same paycheck. If you have a PhD and you have a GED, you should be paid the same amount of money. Is that good for the economy? No, it's not. Okay, socialist form of government says that the more money you make, the higher your tax rate should be. Okay, if you're a CEO, you should give 60% of your income should go to taxes. You know, this guy Buttigieg is saying that we should, that there needs to be a 80% federal tax rate on the average American. That's not including your state and local and food taxes. You would have nothing left. That is a perfect example right there of a socialist form of government. So here is biblical economics. Now, in biblical economics, we have letter A is the responsibilities of a private steward. Now, let's look back at Psalms 24, verse 1. And ask a question here after we read it. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Which of these three economic systems recognize God as the owner? It's capitalism? No. It's communism? Obviously not. It's socialism? No. So the responsibilities of a private steward, and now we're looking at biblical economics, is that everything that you own, everything that you have, whether it be your home, your car, your job, your checkbook, your body, everything you own belongs to the Lord. So that's what the word steward means. It means that you are a manager of the things that God has given you. That you are a wise steward. That you are the British word is that you economize. Which means you are a steward over everything that God has given you. Adam and Eve, they were the perfect stewards at the very beginning. But then what happened? They sinned. And when they sinned, it made stewardship harder. I've had people tell me, said, you know, Pastor, I'd love to give to the church, but I can't afford it. And here's my response. I can't afford not to. Okay, now I don't give to get blessings from the Lord. I give because it's just the right thing to do. Okay, because we're not a denominational supported church. We are a body of believers supported church. Okay, the membership supports this church. I just give because it's just the right thing to do. But now in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 is the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. So when you look at this eighth commandment, when the government puts a high tax rate on people, if you live in a communist form of government, if you live in a socialist form of government, what is that government doing to the person? You're stealing. But we also have to say that in a free market economy, it does give people an opportunity to cheat. To cheat on their taxes. To cheat on their income. It does give a person an opportunity to cheat. And it also gives an opportunity for a person to break another one of the commandments. Thou shalt not covet. Am I a capitalist? You better believe it. Am I a free marketer guy? You better believe it. But we have to be so careful that we do not allow the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to spoil us. And I think that's where we have gotten in America is we have allowed that, especially the pursuit of happiness. It says to pursue it, not to be corrupt about it, not to steal, but to be honest about it. So then, here's some responsibilities here, okay? Here's the first thing, and that is that you take an honest wage for an honest day's work. But then there is freedom and there is restraint. As a free market capitalist, we have the freedom to take a paycheck. We have the freedom to spend that money. We have the freedom to put money in a retirement account. We have freedom to invest our money. We have that freedom to do that. But we also have to restrain ourselves from using our resources to buy things that we don't need. You know what we love to do? We love to use the word need when in reality we don't necessarily need that. We want it. Okay, but we change it. Well, I need that. Oh, it's life and death. Like, you're going to die if you don't get that? Well, no. Okay, all right, there we go. Now, once again, a free market economy gives the best opportunity for man to flourish, a man to invest, a man to work hard. If he's working a job and that job he feels is not meeting his financial obligations, he has the freedom to change jobs and go to another job. A communist form of government determines your job. A socialist form of government is equal pay for everyone. But it also gives people a tendency to exploit and to abuse one another. So we have to be careful not to exploit and abuse one another. And then there's a third thing here, and that is, come on, Dwayne. People are fallen and prone to exploit one another. So, a free market economy, number one, allows people to practice good stewardship. Secondly, it gives people an opportunity to make decisions and be creative. Do you think Steve Jobs with Apple would have flourished in a communist form of government? No way. Would, who's the Microsoft guy? Bill Gates? Would he have flourished in Soviet Union? No. No way. See, only in a free market capitalist kind of society can a person like Steve Jobs, can a person like Bill Gates, can people create jobs, which then own companies that creates jobs and helps people, you know, by giving them an income. But then also, people are fallen. People are prone to exploit others. So then we need to provide some restraint. How do we do that? Is it through government? Well, yeah, we can say in some respects, yes. The government does need to put forth some laws. Okay, let's say the guy here in Fayetteville that was ripping people off by saying that he was setting up retirement accounts for people, where in actual reality he was pocketing the money and he was not setting up any kind of retirement for people. Somebody caught on to it and he had spent all the money, so all of these people were out of their money. Thousands of dollars that people had counted on their retirement, now their retirement was gone. Okay, there was the investment company in Houston, Texas. Same thing. They were taking money from people that had saved up for their retirement. They had invested it into this company. Well, the company was, instead of putting the money where they told it was going, they were taking the money and they were putting it in high risk things like their pockets. And then the government found out, investigated it, They had lost everything. So there does need to be some restraint. But also, folks, we need to use our own sanctified common sense. And that is budget. That is, don't classify your wants as needs. That is, don't depend upon the government for everything in your life. Okay, depend upon the government for very little, if any at all. Okay, we need to get to that point of where we use sanctified common sense when it comes to our finances. So what are some biblical responses here? Well, last week we talked about how we need to try and find true value in loving and serving God, not money. So this week we need to take our stewardship seriously. Just take it seriously.